Blog Talk Radio.
Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. I'm here in New York City. It's like 4 o'clock on my time. It's, it's not as hot, but it's a muggy day. Really muggy, I'll tell you. I could use some gelato right now. But anyway, that which we're going to get into. I'm going to be talking about, we got Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, and Norfolk, Virginia for today. Yeah, first we're going to have Nucci's Gelati in Winnipeg. It has got to be the best cold processed gelato going. So, and it's all in the family, and we're going to have Maria Pepe. That's the daughter to Rosa and Sebastian, the owners, who will talk about Gelato's creation, the history of the place, the venue, you know, that kind of thing. Then we're going to be talking, we've got some walking tours that are in Winnipeg. And Jarrett Story will tell us all about them. Then we're going to be going down to Norfolk. The best bagels are in New York and Norfolk as well. Old Greg Peterman will tell us how to make the perfect bagel and what it is. And I know, you've heard the expression, crazy as a bedbug, huh? Well, I'm sure you've seen all this stuff maybe on TV. I don't know where you are, but where I am, talking about bedbugs. And Roberta Rayburn will be on to tell us about how to detect them and how they get destroyed. But before we go into our gelati, it's commercial time. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale. You can get these wonderful brownies on www.brownies.com. Okay, let's talk about gelato. Or as they say gelati. You say gelati, I say gelato. Right, Maria?
That's right. Yeah. Gelati, gelato, it's all good.
Yeah.
Gelati actually is plural to gelato. You will have a gelato. You bring your friends and they can have gelati with you.
Got it. Okay. So in other words, having more than one scoop, I had gelati.
Well, you still had a gelato. But okay, if you have friends with you, we are going for gelati.
Okay.
But any which way you say it, it's
yes,
always good.
Oh, yes. At least yours is.
Well, yeah. And you know what? Apparently you think so, and that says a lot. So I'm very grateful for that.
Okay. I want to put out to my audience about how
okay,
this came about. The food and beverage manager, Michael, over at the Fairmont Hotel.
Okay.
I was talking with him, and he said, and I got into, like, we were talking about dessert or something. I said, is there any place that has, any good desserts or something? And I said, I don't suppose there's any gelato around. He says, oh, yeah. He says, you're kidding. I went, oh, yeah, I'm sure. And he told me, he said, you got to go to Nucci's. And Now, this is a part I didn't tell you, Maria.
He
was so set on making sure that he wrote up a chit tick for the taxi chit.
Oh,
and so that I can go there.
Well, I'll have to thank Jared for that, or Michael for that one. I'm sorry.
I heard
you say, yes, I will have to actually give him another scoop of gelati when he comes in.
Oh, yeah, and I'm so glad he did. And
okay.
What I had said, this is definitely, like I've had, just so, you know, for people to also to understand now, and this is not negating anything, but I had run into, like, I live in an area, I mean, I don't live in an Italian area, but I live,
mm-hmm.
let's say, close to an Italian area.
Okay.
Anyway, and the gelato that they make, any of something is always lost, and I couldn't figure out something about it was not right. I realized it even looked artificial, and it tasted artificial.
Mm-hmm.
Except for this one little place, Cafe 2000. They made their own gelato there, and it did. It tasted authentic. It was, you know, but I have to say, it wasn't as smooth as yours.
Okay.
But the taste was great because the complete difference. See, when I have gelato, I expect it to taste like a cross between Italian ices and ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing. Not that it's icy, but that's the kind of thing I have an expectation. It shouldn't taste as creamy as ice cream. You know, in other words, because but now I'm going to have you tell us what's in gelato. What's the difference between gelato, Italian ices, and ice cream? Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, well, our gelato, I can speak for our gelato, is made with milk and natural ingredients. And when I say natural ingredients, I mean the fresh fruits, the chocolates, any flavor that we have. We do not put cream, artificial flavoring, or coloring in our product at all. And if we cannot get the fruit that we require for our gelato, we just won't make it. I don't know about anybody else, and that's why ours comes out always consistent, because we are consistent with the product that we sell. The ices, we call it the non-dairy. Obviously, it's like a form of sorbet, and we also make it with the fruits and the juices. Again, no preservatives. We don't recommend our clientele, if they're going to take buckets home, that they should keep it in the freezer for 2 or 3 days, because it will crystallize on you, because we don't put any of the preservatives in there to keep in the freezer in and out like a lot of people do.
Right.
Having said that, I don't know what anybody else puts in their gelati, but I know that we take pride in what we do. The consistency is number one with us. And again, no cream, artificial flavoring, or coloring. We try to cater to every person that we can. Speaking of non-dairy, for the lactose intolerance, we have the Splenda items for the diabetes, the person that has diabetes. We have a few flavors of those. And, yes, we've been making the product since early 1970s. Here we are in the year 2010. We have expanded quite a bit from when we first started with 5 flavors. And now we have over 75 flavors. And
you don't have 75 flavors out at any time, do you?
Oh, we have them all listed. And yes, my parents just came out with another 10 new flavors this year. And
what are they? Make me drool. Go ahead.
Peach mango. Crocangelo, which is the peach mango, is a sorbet. It's non-dairy. It's absolutely fabulous. Peach orange is another sorbet. Crocangelo, which is white chocolate with peanuts. The pomegranate and the blood orange. Those are the 5 new flavors. I mean, the 5 of the new flavors out of the 10 that I can absolutely say that are extraordinary. The lime is another new flavor that they've come out with. Every year my mother, the mastermind behind it in the back there, and my father puts it through the machines. And when I say puts it through the machines, I mean he has a big, huge paddle, and he scoops it out like the old days. It's nothing, I mean, he does have a few more machines that are more, I guess, modern, you can say, but that machine, you see a 73-year-old little man scooping it out like that, and my mother in the back there in her little laboratory, testing all sorts of new different ventures that she can come out with, and they do. The product is amazing. The diabetics, we have the chocolate, green tea, the green tea is fabulous. The green tea is one of the top sellers, and raspberry. So anybody of any kind of intolerance that they may have in their system can absolutely come in. We do have spatulas for each and every the gelati that we do. So if there is contamination, or we wash the paddle, but each paddle is in each individual container. So if somebody with an allergy, we just simply wash it and we tell them, like, don't touch the nuts. If you're afraid of nut allergies, please stay away from the chocolate or have whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, you tasted it. You know it's good. Word of mouth. It has made us what we are today, and we take pride, and we absolutely value each and every of our customers, including Michael from the Fairmont. And if you want a good place to stay in Winnipeg when you come, that's the place to go.
It certainly is. I loved being at the Fairmont. But mm-hmm. Now, so what? How do you explain? It's like you're in your house, and suppose what's the difference if you take and let's just say that you just say milk and sugar and whatever. You know, let's say, now, are you using, just like an idea, when you say using chalk, are you using cocoa?
I can tell you a little bit. I can't tell you everything we put in there, but milk and sugar, it comes from the fruits, and it's the natural sugars. We do add a little bit if we have to, and when I say a little bit, minute, because all our fruits are very, very ripe. It's just a difference of what the ingredients goes in there, which is a family secret, and which has, again, brought us to where we are today.
Well, actually, I do understand my favorite happens to be, and it's done a hot process, and it's not that, and I have to say this, it's not that it tastes better. You know, the one that I get with the hot broth, it's different, and the consistency is just a little bit different.
Okay.
That's all. And I don't say, it's like, when I say, you hit it on the head, done as a cold process to make
yes.
it the best.
Mm-hmm.
And this place in Provincetown, Massachusetts, this woman, Michelle, she hit it on the head making the best hot process.
Really, eh?
But of course I'm not clear. I mean, what I understand with the hot process, it just takes longer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Yeah. I was at one of the companies. It also depends. It's not just. When you're using a company, an Italian company, where you get stuff from. What's
yes.
the company? Michelle, you get stuff. Fabry.
Yes, I've heard that name, yes.
But you use a different one, you said.
Yeah, my parents use a different one, yes.
Okay.
They do. They get it imported from Italy, too, eh?
Yeah, they do. I know, for instance, like when you're dealing with the Amarena cherries.
Yes, black cherry, yeah.
Yeah, that's not something you get, that's not in the United States.
No, absolutely not.
Because they don't make them. In the United States.
No, they don't make any of the. No, we don't deal with the States because a lot of them. I mean, we've been dealing with the same company for years and years and years too, eh? But
yeah.
Yes, you're right. You are absolutely right when you say that.
And the same thing that I was on a press trip in Italy, so I got to learn about some of the things. And the other thing, of course, is let me ask you, when you're dealing with say with the lemons.
Yes.
Are you getting the lemons from Italy by any chance? I'm just curious.
No. No. We get our lemons. No, we don't get our lemons.
Oh, okay.
although the lemons in Italy, have you seen how big they are and how good they are?
they're not only large, but they're also sweeter.
They are sweeter. You're absolutely right.
And they use
and
them
it's funny.
To make, yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just saying, they use them to make limoncello.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They do, yeah, and they are a little sweeter than you would normally get here or anybody else, anywhere else.
Yeah.
And actually, now that you bring that up, you were in Italy. I'm sure you had the gelato there.
Yes.
And it is creamier there, and that is because when they make theirs with the milk, their cows are fed differently, so it is creamier there, whereas ours are fed differently here.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Ours come.
Yeah. Well, they said the best is in, like
hello.
Bacon.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Okay. I lost you there for a minute.
Oh, okay. They said that the best was in Sorrento, I think. It was
okay.
Actually was in Sorrento where I had the opportunity to go to a place where they make the limoncello and they also growing. We saw the lemons growing from their little
the orchid there, that the trees there. Isn't it beautiful? Yes.
Goodness gracious. But you know, and the thing is, it's like it's the same thing like with the pizza. Then I get back here and I go, now I know what pizza is. I don't want pizza.
What is the best pizza you had?
Well, it wasn't that where I had it. It's just that now that I know what pizza is supposed to be, the consistency of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can't get it here. I mean, it's who gave the recipe?
I know. Well, you know what? And again, it just goes to show you. I mean, different places do make different things. You would think that the best pizza is in Italy. You would think that the best gelati is in Italy. You would think that the best is everywhere.
Yeah.
It depends on the individual.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it depends. But I do know for a fact, and I could be a little biased here, but because of our history, because of our loyalty and our consistency and everything else under the sun, I know that we do make the best product probably, because I know a lot of people have come from all over to try our gelati, and it's either the first stop they do when they come to Winnipeg or one of the last stops. Absolutely.
I don't blame them.
I'm
going to find out when I can come back there just to make sure.
Well, you know what? I look forward to seeing you. And we also make a heck of a good cappuccino and an espresso as well.
Oh,
we really do.
Espresso, yes. That was like, I couldn't believe the taste of it. It was, and because now I'm not a coffee drinker at all.
Okay.
And with the espresso, it was, and I'm going to use the word sweet, but I don't mean sweet. I mean less acidic. It was
okay.
The acidic. It's like when the acidic taste makes me want to put in sugar and milk.
Okay. Yes. Yes,
but
usually,
and what you have, I just didn't want anything in there. I mean, I really just enjoyed the taste of the espresso itself.
Again, it comes down to the product you use and the type of beans you use, the type of machine. And for the machine, you have to have the right grinding of the beans itself. It's just not in the bean. It's just not in the machine. It takes the right mixture, it takes the right fineness of the bean to come through that machine. If you make it too thick, it's going to come out too fast, and therefore you're going to have a cup of water.
Right. That's
so
true.
Everything is, and again, going back to gelati, which in consistency with the espresso, it depends on how you handle your product. It depends what you strive for, and we strive for the best.
Do you ever make a coffee gelato?
We do. We have it. We have mocha, which is made with the espresso.
Oh.
And we always tell our customers, beware, because it could keep you up. We've had people say, boy,
man.
That is... Oh, absolutely. We make the mocha with the actual espresso coffee. We make the latte macchiato, which is a coffee and milk, with the coffee and milk. The only thing I can honestly say is the amaretto gelato.
Yeah.
It's as close as coming to the amaretto without using the actual amaretto.
Oh, really?
Yes, but everything else, I mean, we sit in the back, and my parents, They peel the oranges, they peel the mandarins, they do the amareno, which is the black cherries,
right?
The kiwis.
And well, the black cherries, isn't that comes already in? It comes in a jar, right?
No, it's all fresh. It's all fresh, the amarena. All fresh.
Really?
Every single thing on our premises is fresh. Nothing comes out of a jar.
That's interesting.
Not one thing.
The Fabry, that's where I have some a jar of amarino cherries in
yes.
the house here, and that's how they come. And I didn't realize.
No, ours is completely different. And yes, you are right. Well, you are right again because you've been around and you've tasted different things. And amarenas do come in a big jar, and you can actually sit. And amarenas come in some form of liquor too.
Yes,
you can have
yes.
the amarena cherries. And although that's great, but unfortunately we can't serve liquor in the gelati here. So
how does it? You're saying they come fresh like regular cherries? Is that
like yes, like cherries, black cherry. That's what it is.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's black cherry. Ours are black cherries. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how about? Do they have blood oranges in the United States? I mean, United States. You know what I mean? Do they have
red
blood
oranges
in North America?
We have red oranges here. Like my father has connections, and they get the red blood oranges brought in. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Because that was another thing that's grown there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing. And when I taste them, it was like I couldn't believe it. It's like the sweetest orange you can come across.
You can actually when you taste our product, it's like actually eating. Have you tried the pear? Did you sample the pear?
No, I wanted everything.
Oh my God! You know what?
But
if you try the pear, it's actually like eating a pear.
Oh no!
It's actually
no
like eating a pear, like the kiwi. It's actually like you're eating the mango, the papaya.
Oh.
I mean, I can go on and on. I mean, we have everything from normal black cherry to strawberry, which are just flavors you can get, like the apricot, the banana. But we have panicotta, which is an angel food cake. We have prickly pear, which is another non-dairy, which are the seedy cactuses that you get in the store. We
right.
have that's non-dairy. I mean, there's all sorts of different flavors that you go, oh, my God, the hazelnut, the amaretto, the chestnuts.
And should I warn people about something? There's no tasting.
There is no taste in, unfortunately, but there's a huge but. If you really want to try something and you are not sure, after you order your gelato or your gelati, we will absolutely give you a little smidgen of something on top, just so that you know for next time that if it's the one you want
that's a good
or not.
Way of doing it.
We really try to cater, and we really try to do our best to make every single person that comes through our establishment to have a happy one and to make them want to come back. And the product always makes them want to come back.
Awesome.
But next time you're in town, if you like espresso, you'll have to have the mocha, which is made with espresso, with the tiramisu gelati, which is the Bailey's Irish cream. That is a good mixture.
Oh.
See, I'm going to make your mouth water until you come back. And after that, you can have an espresso.
So let me ask you. So the thing is, in terms of gelato, having a machine is
mm-hmm.
is important.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what
absolutely.
I mean. It's the machine and the, I guess, are there paddles in the machine or whatever?
We have one huge big paddle. My father has this machine since the early 70s. My father went to Rome to pick it up. This particular machine came from Rome. It's, and it's, like I said, in the early 70s. And he still today uses that one. It's his favorite. It's a bit more work, but it is authentic. It's the old-fashioned way of making gelati and the only way to make gelati. And
so,
having said that, it comes with the consistency of the person making it. So it goes from my mother to my father to me and my brother, and we are the servers.
So we're low down.
Yeah.
In other words, this isn't something like you can take your blender and just...
Oh, God, no. No,
you're not going to get the consistency. There's something.
No, you won't get the... It's
machine.
The texture. It's not even the consistency as much as
the texture of our gelati.
Word,
texture. Yes, that's the thing. I mean, even like, you know, I have a machine, a Vitamix machine, And it's great, but it's still, you just can't get it. You have to have an ice cream machine.
Yes, you do. You have to have, a gelato machine that produces, again, it's the right texture. And also a big factor is your serving coolers as well as the machine.
You have to make sure
that, you know, there's so much more than just waking up and thinking that you're going to make a gelato or like you're going to open up a shop. It's the textures that you have to make sure that, you know, the right temperature of the machine. Again, it goes with wanting to take some home and keeping it in your freezer. Well,
right.
Our home freezers are different than the serving coolers we have at the gelati shop. They're completely different. And when it comes through the machine, it goes into another cooling and a cooler. It's a prepping cooler, and it comes to us in the front when we're ready to serve it. So it's all sorts of, it goes from an A to Z. It's like an alphabetical order, eh?
Yeah.
So,
Do you have, let's say, any restaurants or hotels that buy your gelato and then
we are all over Winnipeg. We have places in Stonewall. We go up to Dauphin. We go to Stony Mountain. We're all over. We have restaurants that take our gelato. They put our name up because we are well known in Winnipeg, as you know in New York now that we are well known here. So yes. We serve a lot. We cater to a lot of places, and we are just not the only establishments. That's our little, instead of franchising out in bigger aspects, a lot of the little places take our gelati.
So,
yes.
For people, let's say, visiting, and they're not, let's say, in your neighborhood, and they do want it, is there something that they could, where they could find out, like, what's the nearest place?
Well, actually, like you did, it's we are in Ware Magazine. We are in the business little magazines, the business zone, Cordon Business. And we, again, word of mouth, like if you ask anybody in any major hotel, they will tell you. We.
No, I guess what I'm asking is like if
the advertising.
I don't mean the advertising. Let's say, in other words,
we're in the phone book.
No, I guess maybe I wasn't clear. Do you sell your product to, let's say, a restaurant?
Yes, we do.
Oh, you do.
We sell it to restaurants downtown. We sell it. We're all over. Yes, we.
Okay.
I mean, in New York, you won't understand when I tell you down Pembina Highway, but we're all over. Northeast, southwest. We're all over Winnipeg.
But so that is there a way? Let's say I'm in a certain area and I want to, you know, pop in for dessert to a restaurant and have new cheese.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there a way for me to know?
It's the advertising that they do. They will put our name that they carry our product and our product alone.
Okay.
So if you are going, let's say, to a restaurant and we are on most of their menus, that they will tell you that it's new cheese gelati. Yes.
Okay.
But I don't think you'll know until you get there.
Oh, okay.
Probably, you know. Okay. So that's the only factor.
So I need to convince Michael.
Yes, you need to convince Michael. It's people like Michael, again, word of mouth can make you or break you, but it's people like Michael and many others like him that, again, put our name forward because they believe in the product, they've tasted it, they've had it, and they're kind of spoiled because when they go to other places, they just keep coming back and saying, you know what, it's nothing like yours, so why bother? It's good. It's good to taste others because then you know in your heart that is authentic and it is the best. And there is a huge difference, huge, when you taste ours to other people's. Not saying that theirs isn't good. I'm just saying that, you know what, once you've been making it for 35 years, that alone should speak for itself.
Oh, definitely.
That alone. And we've had people that are loyal customers for years and years and years, and they, each and every one of them will tell you the consistency is impeccable. It's amazing. We're always the same. You will never have it bad because we just simply won't make it unless we get the right product. We just simply won't. There was a few years ago we didn't make mango the whole summer because we couldn't get the mangoes ripe enough. So we don't want to discourage anybody, and we definitely don't want to make a bad product for that time.
You need
to come back here and try some more.
Definitely. Now, I just, I also wanted to find out now, when this place, when you first opened, was the place the same size? Or did you...
The place was actually smaller. We are down at 643 Corden Avenue, but we were at 659. My parents had a pool hall, and when they first started, it was a pool hall. They had pinball machines, and they had the guys in the back. It was like a little sports bar. It was a sports bar with playing cards, and they simply started with five flavors, pistachio, chocolate, hazelnut, lemon, and amaretto, and that was in the early 70s. And now we move down the strip. It is our own location, and they moved. Now it's bigger than it was, and it's all about gelati. It's not about pinballs. It's not about pools. It's not about anything else. It's all about gelati, and it's easier to focus on one thing and make that one product the best you can than to focus on everything else that's going around you. And I mean, the coffee's just. It's just as good because that doesn't take too much. But it's, So
well,
we've grown in that way.
I so appreciate your, I appreciate your calling in because right now I'm so in the mood for it.
Well, you know what? I appreciate you trying it. I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to be on your talk show because you are such a wonderful, wonderful lady to talk to. Very, very nice, and my parents couldn't say enough about you. You're very personable, and they said that you were just wonderful, and my brother as well. So, unfortunately, I didn't have the chance, the honor to meet you, but I'm sure that in the future, upon your many travels, we will come across, and you'll have to come in to have some more of our gelati.
Oh, yes. Well,
I'll let you taste them all. I'll let you sample.
Yes.
How's that?
I'm going to do some tasting, just a little bit. I absolutely go crazy. I couldn't eat enough. I mean, I'm sorry I ate lunch before.
Well, you know what? You will have another opportunity.
Yeah,
and just come in, and you'll have to stay a couple of days. That way you can come in and taste all of them.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Well, and there you go.
Okay. Well, again, thank you so much, Maria.
You know what? Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity, and all the best. And I'm sure that we will talk again.
Okay. And I'm going to suggest, because the next one who's coming on, we're going to be talking about the walking tours. I suggest that people stop by.
Okay.
Get the gelati. Then go over to the business district, the exchange district.
And actually, now that you say that, the exchange district for the last 10 days is holding our annual Fringe Festival that we are a big part of. We are down in the exchange, and we sell our gelati out of our gelati truck there for the last 12 days. So I'm sure the next person coming up, I believe his name was Jared, will tell you about that.
Oh, yeah,
so
Jared.
So the Exchange District is a huge part of ours, yes.
Oh, God, okay.
And having said that, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity, and I look forward to you coming to Winnipeg once again.
Okay, great.
And I will personally thank Michael next time I see him. On your behalf as well.
And what I want to tell Michael that they should feature your gelato at the hotel.
Well, I'll just have to tell him. Maybe he's keeping it a secret because he wants it all to himself. But he didn't do too good of a job with you, did he?
No.
There you go. Well,
okay.
You know what?
Yeah.
We will talk to Michael about that. I'm sure. But thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. You take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, God. Jared, did you have any gelato?
Of course. The Fringe is going on. The gelati truck is right outside my door, so
this is not fair at all. I can't, you know. God.
You've been thinking about it since you left, haven't you?
I can't, you know, it's, and the thing is, it's just that what happens is when I come across something in my travel that's so outstanding that I, you know, that's when it gets on my mind. It's like if the most outstanding thing that I experienced was the legislative building.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's like what? You know?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know, that was totally amazing. But what I want to talk about is, first I want to get into the topic of walking tours themselves. You know, why do a walking tour? What do you get out of it that's like, okay, why not get on a bus?
Right. Well, I mean, walking tours are great for our organization because we, you know, what we're trying to do is bring people down to the exchange and to, you know, to see the contemporary exchange, to see all the retail and you know, dining opportunities, the cultural amenities, all the really interesting new and cutting edge stuff that's happening there, but also to look back and understand where all of this came from. So you could very well take a bus and drive by and, you know, see the beautiful architecture, but it's really something to have an interpretive tour with a guide to really flesh out all the details. And it's sort of a unique thing. I mean, it's we say it's about half the price of the movie and about two times better. So
yeah,
it's a lot of fun. People have a great time. So
yeah, that's very true. And by the way, because I was looking on your website, that they are very inexpensive compared to.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've never seen walking tours for less than $15 a person. So
exactly, we operate at basically a break even sort of proposition. So we're not totally in it to make money. We're more concerned with getting as many people on the tours as possible and making them as accessible as they can be. So yeah, it works out well for everybody that way.
So the thing, let's get into all of the tours that you offer. And now first, of
sure.
course, is the one that I took. The
Death right.
and Debauchery Tour.
The Death and Debauchery Tour. That's our brand new tour. We just started it this year, and it has been absolutely the most popular tour we've ever done. Something a little bit, you know, it has a little bit more sex appeal. It's a little bit racier, and I think that that's appealed to a new market. Our other tours in the past have been more educational, and you know, we do a lot of school groups. Obviously, we write all of our tours with the provincial curriculum in mind, so that they're really good for you know, middle school to high school age students, but also good for locals and visitors alike. But for this one, we thought, you know, let's do something more anecdotal. Let's do something that's a little bit, you know, a little bit more cutting edge and one where, you know, where the parents can leave the kids at home kind of thing. So it's been just great. We're looking at how well this one is done and creating a new tour for next year. We actually haven't told anyone about this yet, but we're looking at, I'll break the news here on your show, we're looking at doing a Hollywood tour for next year. And I think that'll probably be,
in other words,
as
where
popular.
Things were filmed.
Exactly. Yeah. We're gonna look at doing all the different films that were shot in the area. Just in the last little while, we've had The Assassination of Jesse James was shot in the exchange with Brad Pitt, of course. Shall We Dance was shot all throughout the exchange. So there's a number of other you know, big Hollywood movies that have used the exchange as a backdrop. And that's something that I know people will absolutely respond to. So yeah, we've been really happy with Death and Debauchery, and we're gonna use that model to create, you know, some more tours that are along the same line.
So describe for everybody what the Death and Debauchery Tour is about. What's it all about?
Sure. Well, Winnipeg in its sort of early days, you know, you have to remember in the late 1800s to the 1900s, the population of Winnipeg grew very quickly, and to the point where we were the third largest city in Canada behind Toronto and Montreal. So we were a real frontier kind of boom town. And with that came a lot of growing pains, I guess you might say. So there was a fair bit of scandal and political corruption, and it was our city was known as the wickedest city in the Dominion, And so we're looking back at some of the things that happened there. Like, great story. Our first mayor of Winnipeg was a very interesting guy. And one of the things that you'll hear about on the tour is how he was caught driving his buggy while intoxicated. And at the time, he was the mayor and the police magistrate, which would have been, you know, the equivalent to the top judge, you know, in today's world. And so he actually presided over his own trial, which was a huge scandal at the time, of course, because he, you know, he was in the prisoner's docket, and he pleaded his case and walked back up to the judge's bench, and, you know, gave himself a stern lecture and decided to let himself go on with a small fine, and which he then suspended for good behavior, of course. So, so you can imagine the people were not terribly happy about that. Later on, he was running for MLA, and he actually kidnapped his opponent. There are a great deal of stories about our first mayor that are just mind blowing. That, you know, tons of people who live here don't even know about. So it's great to look back and find those details and share them with people who are new to our city or people who've been here forever and just didn't know. So that's sort of the kind of the stuff that you'll hear about. There's also a fellow who was tarred and feathered for rejecting the first incorporation bill, which was just a big deal at the time. So we have a pretty racy history here in Winnipeg.
Now, and what are the other tours that you offer?
Oh, we have a green buildings tour, which talks about how some of these older buildings have been converted by really forward-thinking architects into, you know, creating a, you know, LEED-certified green eco-forward buildings. We have Newspaper Row, which is all about all the old-time newspaper buildings used to be in our district, and there's some exciting stories about the, you know, the editors getting into fights and the reporters yelling at each other from, you know, across the windows. And when the stock market crash happened, people were all gathered around all the different newspaper buildings, and we're catching news off the wire. So that's an interesting one, one of my personal favorites. We have Bankers Row. We had a number of bank buildings down our main street in Winnipeg that we talk about. We have the Grain Exchange, of course, Winnipeg being the central hub for the grain trade in the early days. We also have an East and West tour, which are sort of sister tours that are a little bit longer, and they give you a really comprehensive overview of all these different tours. And then, of course, we have our strike tour, which is huge, because in 1919, the Winnipeg General Strike happened, and that was really the pivotal moment in Canada that basically sparked the whole labor movement in the country. And that's, you know, last year was the 90th anniversary, so that was that's been very popular. So we have a number of tours. We have a broad range, and we can actually, for larger groups who, you know, if you say, well, I want to learn a little bit about the newspapers, and I want to learn a little bit about the strike, and, you know, maybe a little bit of death and debauchery, we can actually take pertinent information from each of those tours and create a specially tailored tour for you and your group at no extra cost. So we're very flexible, and that tends to be a popular option for people.
Do you think about doing, like, some kind of culinary tour?
We've thought about it before, yeah, like to do a Taste of the Exchange District kind of thing. We have thought about that. That's something that we're looking at for next year. It would probably be something slightly different from our regular walking tours, because it would be outside of the history kind of thing. But I'd love to do a restaurant and shopping tour. I think that would be fantastic, you know, because sometimes people come to a new city and they don't know where to eat and they don't know where to shop, and it'd be nice to have somebody, you know, tour them around, show them the different options, and then just sort of let them run free. So that's something that we're definitely looking at. Yeah.
I don't know if I told you, I found this wonderful restaurant called Kimchi.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're relatively new. I haven't been there yet. They're quite new, but it's a Korean place. Yeah.
So you haven't been in there?
Not yet.
Have you been inside?
I've been inside, yeah, absolutely.
Is that an interesting space?
Yeah, it's very neat.
On one
yeah.
side you can knit and the other side you eat.
That's the Exchange District for you, though, right?
I like the space. I did try the food, and it was excellent.
Yeah,
it was very
that's great.
Good.
Yeah, I love Korean food, so I'll have to check it out. I've had a hard time getting past the gelati cart at this point, but I think once the fringe is over, I'll be.
Oh, man, I got to find some gelato somewhere.
For sure.
Horrible. Either that, I'm going to take some milk and put a little sugar and season or something in there.
Just try and make it at home.
Yeah, try to make it. Oh God, I know I can't make it. I'm gonna get one. I'm gonna have to get some company to send me a gelato, a machine, an ice cream maker or something, so I could do that. But anyway, so in other words, what this is really it's all about the district. So it's like it's centered on the business district itself, and that you're creating this to put out the word versus, am I right, as opposed to just some company that conducts tours?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'm from the Exchange District Business Improvement Zone. I think in the States you have BIAs and BIDs, things like that. So So we're responsible for promoting the area, enhancing the basic civil services, and trying to bring as many people down as possible for different kinds of amenities. So we do different kinds of programming that we think will resonate with people. We do lunchtime concerts on our new stage. We do the tours, obviously, and a number of other programs. So, like I said earlier, we're not in it from a – we're not profit-driven as far as the tours go, but we're most interested in creating unique and exciting visitor experiences for people to come down to experience the district and to learn about the history, but as I said, to learn about all the amazing new things in the contemporary exchange that are happening. And it's really eye-opening for a lot of people. A lot of people live in Winnipeg and they had no idea about the history, or they don't necessarily know about all the new boutiques or restaurants that are happening. So we get great feedback from them. It's been we've been doing the tours for about 7 years now, and they grow every single year.
Yeah, you know, it's a great idea for early afternoon or something like that, and because it's so inexpensive, it's like, I have nothing to do today. What can I do? Oh, that kind of thing is, at the same time, you're walking, getting some exercise.
For sure. It's a great way to spend an afternoon. We've had a number of groups who will do an East tour in the morning, right? And then they'll go, they'll go to a restaurant that they saw on at the first part of the tour, break for lunch, and come back and do a West tour. And we're talking less than $15 for an afternoon in the exchange with a guided tour. It's really unbeatable. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Sure. When I come back there, I'll do a different tour.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and well, we might even have the Hollywood tour ready by the time you're back. And I think
that would
get a kick out of that
cool.
one.
Yeah, that would sound pretty cool.
Well,
for sure. Your website. Yes, what's your website?
Oh, people can go and check us out at exchangedistrict.org.
Okay.
And all of the tour information is on there. A listing of all our businesses is on there. Some other, fun news and things like that. And we've moved to an interesting kind of booking system this year, where we used to have drop-ins at specific times. But this year we thought, well, how do we make this more flexible for visitors? And basically now people just call and send us an email, tell us when they'd like to go. We have a representative, the scheduling representative, who's amazing, who will just bend over backwards to work with your schedule. So if you go on the website, exchangedistrict.org, there's a walking tours link. Send us an email, call the office, and we will do everything we can to work with the time that best fits your schedule. And it's been fantastic. People have been really, really, really excited about, about doing it that way, because then they can say, well, I want to come in a week at noon, and we say, okay, we can do that. So it's been great.
What's the least amount of people that you'll take on a tour?
You know what, if one person calls us and says we want to go on a tour, if we have a guide available, we'll take them.
You mean like me?
Yep.
like
well, especially you, of course.
I was the only one. Okay. No, I was just curious about that. As long as there's somebody, how many people do you have working there? That doing
right now we have two full-time tour guides, and that actually it works quite well, because we can take up to 30 to 40 people for one guide at a time. And of course now with the fringe going on, they're just kind of going like crazy. it's a great thing to do between shows at the Fringe Festival.
Oh, sure.
And because all of the shows are going on in the district,
yeah.
You know, somebody might have a show at 1:30 and then they have to go see another one at 4 or 4:30 and they're looking for something to do. And, you know, they just hop on a 45-minute tour or an hour and 15-minute tour, and it works out great.
Fabulous. Well, thank
yeah.
you so much for calling in and spreading the word.
Oh, thanks for having me on, and definitely, you know, come back and see us, and we'll go for gelati and take you on a tour.
Yeah. All of my blog is up there in case you want to look.
I saw it. I actually saw it yesterday. Yeah, it
oh,
looks
okay.
great.
So
I like the rubber chickens, of
yeah.
course, as you know.
So now I'm up to the next step is getting the articles written, so you'll see that pretty soon.
Perfect.
Because I have a feeling,
it.
Yeah, the heat is going to keep me in the house, I think.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, but okie dokies, I'm going to go play some Winnipeg music next.
Oh, fantastic.
I got some from a group that was at the folk festival.
Okay, well, what are they called?
The group is called Trio Bembe. Trio.
Oh yeah. Yeah, great band.
Yeah, and is that how you pronounce it? Trio Bembe? Trio.
I think so. That's how I say it. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so yeah. I got their CD. I said, "Oh, please send me the CD. I'll put up a couple of songs, and you know, we can listen to that." So.
Great. Perfect. Well, it's good. It's good music for a hot afternoon. That's for sure.
Yes. Okay. Thanks again.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And hail on to the redhead for me too.
I definitely will. I definitely
right.
will.
Okay.
And come back and see us.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
Yeah. Well, anything in Winnipeg is great to do. I mean, I absolutely enjoyed being in that city, and I do want to return. And as promised, let's hear a couple of the songs from the album. One called If Only. Baby,
another day, hoping that he will come away. If only.
yes, yes, yes. So I'm back. Oh, I'm back. Okay. So let's see. Well, we're gonna waiting for my call in to talk about bagels. This is. By the way, I got some more items from Rowena's. However, UPS drops off the box and it is crushed. It's like I'm sitting here, I could see the guy from UPS come out my stoop. And so when I'm on a phone call, and I excuse myself on the phone call, I say, I got someone, whatever. I got to the front door, and he's gone, and the box is sitting on my stoop, and I see the truck, like, down the block. I'm looking at the box that's crushed. I'm hoping that they'll get out of the car, that they'll get out of the truck, that somebody will just simply acknowledge the crushed box. It's like, oh, yes, let's leave it and run. Thank God she wasn't home when we rang the bell. That was quick enough, like she didn't come to the door in 2 seconds, so she must not be home. We'll just leave it here. One of those things. Well, UPS, you had the things I went through UPS, they just absolutely don't care. And I'm trying to get a hold of the local UPS in Maspeth, Queens, where it is, you know, where it finally gets delivered from there. And I'm speaking with a guy, John Cruz, I guess. C-R-U-Z, but I don't know if that's pronounced Cruz. Anyway, and his basic attitude, wow, you got to follow the procedures of blah, blah, blah. So, you know, he's a supervisor. Well, supervisor, right. And he's, you know, he's the nothing. He's like shrug. Oh yeah, I know the driver is, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, you know, just gotta follow the procedures for, and they get, and they have two cakes in there, Rowena's cakes, and they're crushed. And this guy's telling me that he'll have somebody come and pick up the box and the content to be inspected. What the hell are they talking about? I mean, it's just the lack of people wanting to do their job. I mean, what was so horrible? Well, you know, they don't want to get caught. They're just, you know, of just with a note. Now, I went online to see the tracking of the package. I mean, it was like, it wasn't like that it took 3 days. It was on the 21st, arriving on the 22nd. It was simple as that I got it. So I'm still going to speak to, according to John Cruz, I'm still waiting to hear from Sergio, another inspector who I once, I mean, another supervisor who I once had something resolved with, and I also said, who's the big shot? Who's the manager? The manager's name is Willie Gray. And so neither people have called me back. So needless to say, I'm blogging it. I'm going to, I'm not only going to email the photos to Rowena so she could see it, so she can have them handy, but I'm blogging this entire thing with all the photos, and it's going to be on Esther and Eunice's blog. Man, they were appalled too, looking at this. And, you know, I mean, it's just totally absurd. It's the lack of responsibility. Simple as that. Just, you know, and everybody, UPS, they don't care. They just don't care. Yeah, follow thing there. Follow clamp. Yeah. That's the procedure. You know, they aren't going to make the person who crushed it, who did that, responsible for anything, you know? And it happened that I had gone out yesterday, like earlier, and I saw a UPS truck, and the back opened. It was the guy, I guess the driver and an assistant. And he opened up the truck, and there was like no room. It was absolutely, totally packed with boxes. All I thought about is how did they, you know, how did it all pack like that without any without anything being crushed. Well, I must have got, I got a different one from a different one, and they must have said, oh, let's put the crushed one on this one over here. Either that, I don't know if they, my feeling is that it got crushed from the time it went from Maspeth to here. That's a, like 10, 15 minutes away from my house. And so hopefully they'll take some responsibility. Well, I did get, aside from the cakes, I got some wonderful items from Rowena's. I got, what I was doing was tasting some of these on a roll with cream cheese. It's, you know, rolling cream cheese and jellies and jams, you know. Although I'm going to be cooking some chicken, and I'll be using. So I got this cranberry comp. I don't have them in front of me. I should do that. I should actually just go into the kitchen, but it'll make too much noise, and open the refrigerator and let you know what it was. But I know I got this orange spice. You know what? I don't care if it makes noise. Okay, let me get up out of my chair here. And I'm going to go into the kitchen. Hopefully my bagel person will call me. And, of course, he's not knowing that I'm away from the computer. But now I'm making my way into my kitchen. And let's go into my refrigerator over here. I'm going to eat soon anyway after I finish it. Okay. Peach, orange, clove jam. That was really, I know there's a lot of other recipes to do with it. I just wanted to try it. So it was great on a piece of roll that had cream cheese. Cranberry nut conserve. I tried it just on some plain chicken, and not that I didn't like it. It didn't work. It didn't work with that. I think I'm going to, like, I think I'm going to try, like, maybe on chicken salad or something, you know, with a little bit of mayonnaise may work with it. But anyway, but I like the taste. That's, you know. And then I have raspberry curd. And I did that again on the cream cheese, but I'm going to try it on something else. Well, this weekend I'm going to be cooking up duck.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Well, what do you mean, don't do that?
No, I must have duck.
Well, yeah, but I like duck.
Yeah, well, I like duck too.
Yeah, but I like duck in a different way than you do.
Well, yeah. Well, don't eat it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what Esther and Eunice think about it. So, what do you think? Well, okay, yeah, I know you don't want me to eat chicken, although, you know, I don't know. What do you expect me to eat? Okay. Well, regardless,
I'll eat whatever I want. So.
Why don't you take a walk? Why don't you take a walk into the other room, guys? Yeah. Mhm. You want to say bye bye to my.
Yeah. Bye bye.
Okay. Well, I acquired, I don't know. Well, what was happening, I know this is, Esther and Eunice had their friend Donald Duck over for a visit. I left them. So anyway, to get back to this, I don't know, where's my mail guy? I know it's Friday, but you know, and it's like getting near the Sabbath for this. But they don't close on Saturday. They don't observe the Sabbath, even though there is a rabbi. I don't think, no, the rabbi doesn't make the bagels. The rabbi comes there to, I guess, I don't know, I guess everything is kosher, maybe? No, can't be. I think there's pork being served. I don't know. I don't remember. All I did was I wanted to try the bagel, you know, and I wanted to see how close it came to a New York bagel. And it was better than most New York bagels. It was like the perfect consistency of a bagel, which is supposed to be like the inside is soft, you know, and the outside is just a little crunchy. I have to call it crunchy, meaning that the mistake in the bagels when other places make it is it tastes, it's like chewy. And the reason is that the correct way, because this is the way, I mean, bagels were brought into New York and the way it was done, is that you boil the bagel first. You boil the yeast, you know, after you put it, whatever. You boil them for just a short amount of time, and then you bake them. And that's why they come out of the consistency, as opposed to like if you get like Lender's bagels, you know, and it's like this chewy thing. It doesn't matter if you toast it. Toasting still doesn't do it. Still, it's the taste, the consistency. I don't know what additives or whatever they put in there, as far as, you know, packaged bagels, but. And the stores, when you go to a bagel shop, but it doesn't guarantee, by the way, if you go to a bagel shop in New York, that it's going to be the right consistency. Does the water have anything to do with it? It does. It seems so. But although having had the bagel at place is called Yorgos or Yorgies. I have it written in my blog. See, I certainly wanted. I hate when people forget to call in, or you know. I mean, I always think, okay, are they in a car accident or whatever? But it just I forgot. You know, one of those kind of things. Yeah, but okay. Anyway, enough with the bagel. I want to hear a little music. That's right. They took it off of Broadway. Hair is touring. I just like this song, so I'm gonna play it for me.
We starve. Look. Another short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smell from laboratories, facing a dying nation of moving paper fantasy, listening for the new toll line.
Oh, yes. Let the sun shine. Okay, and let's see what we got. Well, you know, it's I guess the songs that I like. What can I tell you? And so I'll play songs that I like.
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret, maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song the summer sings, maybe the chill the autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast, may be the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dreams, a smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell.
Should be staying on Broadway for years unless they had only decided on a short run, because that has got to be like the funniest show on Broadway at the moment. I mean, you can't get funnier. Prior to that, not prior, but it's still going. The show, The 39 Steps, is real. That's hilarious. That is hilarious. Well, I'm supposed to go to see it tomorrow. The problem is that I had noticed that weather-wise, on the boob tube, they said that it was gonna the heat index was going to be between 104 and 110 degrees, let alone the outside. It's the subway platforms that's going to be horrible. So I'm going to. I have vouchers, so it's not. I think I'm going to just maybe I'll call up the box office of the theater and see if there's a possibility and explain and if they'll allow me to come back at a different time and then put it out there to everyone. I mean, there's just no way. I can't even go out in that kind of weather. I can't imagine that this weather is even happening. And then the horrible part, well, okay, maybe you don't think it's horrible. I'm trying to find something to quench my thirst. Even though I'm in the house, I do have some air conditioning. It's not that, it's okay. But, whereas I usually drink lots of water, I had gone to Trader Joe's and got some beer. And they have a beer that's their own brand, and it's equivalent to, if not, Corona Light. And I find I like not just the taste, but it's really refreshing, And I put it in one of those mugs that where the thing freezes on the side, and I do that, and I just have the beer. My problem is I don't sip beer. It's like I don't sip milk. I just want to like pour it down, just keep getting that cold down my throat. And considering I get drunk on scotch tape, it's not a good thing. That's not a good thing for me to do. So, anyway. Oh, and I also wanted to tell you what UPS does, what they did. So last week I get a package and it's like soaked. I go, and the guy was like right next door when I got to the door. I said, why? I'm looking outside. It's not raining. I said, why is this package soaked? He said, well, it poured just a little while ago. And he's got a hand truck with him. So the truck, I said, where's the truck? And he says, it's like across the street down the block. And so they didn't want to pull the truck in front. So, and I called about this thing. Now their answer was, what would be the difference if the truck was in front of your house and it was pouring and they brought it to your house? It'd still be wet. I said, it wouldn't have gotten as wet. I mean, that's their answer. They come up with anything but telling me it's their fault that they screwed up or something. It's like they just excuses, all kinds of excuses. And, it doesn't matter. I think I have to look into, it doesn't help me. It's people mailing stuff to me. In terms of I don't have as much problem with FedEx as I have with them, but I guess I guess it's maybe less expensive with UPS or whatever, and that could be the reason. Let's see. I just got who's sending me some email. Let's see. Come on up there. Let's read that screen. Okay. Coming up slowly. Okay. My computer is doing its little... All right, not bad. Let's see. Okay. Oh, that's Marriott. Oh, it's a Marriott. Marriott Lodging... What is this thing here? Marriott Lodging Customer Service. I did this already. They said if you've not completed the survey... They want me to do the survey on the Marriott at Norfolk downtown. Well, that's the one that, what do you call it? That's the, no, what was it called? The Residence Inn. That's by Marriott. And I did that. Not only did I do that, I mean, I've written that about how great it was there. I liked it. I did. Okay. So let's delete this. What else am I looking here? A couple of press trips. Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. This is the beaches of South Walton, which is actually near Pensacola. I thought they had a problem with the oil spill. And they're having a press trip. That's interesting. The press trip is from the 16th to the 18th of September, which would be just before I go to Catalina Island on the 19th. I wonder if I can. No, I can't do that. And then right after that, I'll call them up and say, hey, give me a trip some other time. I guess they want people to see that it's not so horrible there or whatever. I don't know. And then I have another one, Discover the Wonders of New York State Canals. And they're having a luncheon. It's being hosted, plus a special presentation about the World Canals Conference being hosted in Rochester in September. What are they going to, also in September, that I want to go to. I'll see. In the meantime, we're going to be waiting for, at least now somebody, we got one of the person's schedule, at least, they're doing that, there's an expression. I don't know where the expression came from. Crazy as a bedbug. Where do you think that expression came from, Roberta?
Half the people in New York who have them.
Yeah.
Just ask anyone who's had bedbugs, and they'll tell you how crazy they are.
I always remember that the expression, and it wasn't until pretty much lately that I even know what a bedbug was.
We thought it was a joke, but they've been written about in the Bible, and Pliny the Elder had bed bugs. They go back quite a ways. They used to just suck the blood of bats, but when bats left the cave, so did the bed bugs, and they decided we had better blood. So they've been with us for centuries.
But there's this whole thing going on, especially in New York City. I've seen a lot on TV. What's it all about? Why? Well, first of all, tell me what is a bed bug? What does it kind of look like?
It's a little bug. It looks like it's a little round bug. It's very, very flat. It's kind of oval shaped, actually. It's not split down the middle like a ladybug is, but it's just a little round, flat bug that fills with blood when it eats blood. It's about an eighth of an inch, 3/16 of an inch, although some of them are getting bigger. And they don't carry disease the way cockroaches do. So at least they're not the most harmful bug in the world, but they are very pesky in that their bites are itchy, painful, plentiful, and they don't go away. They just will eat you alive if you don't do something about it.
Ooh.
Yeah, ew.
Well, how would you detect? How would one detect if they even have bed bugs, other than waking up in the morning and noticing their hand is gone?
A good inspection.
Yeah.
Good inspection can do that. You'll see evidence on your mattress, on your sheets, a little blood smear, or on the ribbing of the mattress, you'll see little black droppings that look like pepper. You can also hire a properly trained scent detecting dog to come in and sniff bed bugs. And they're really good because they'll not only tell you if you have them, but where. Many times infestations are restricted to one room. And thank God, you don't have to do the whole house. You can just take care of the room because they're only in one place. That would be a relatively new introduction of bed bugs into the household.
Yeah, is it only in beds that they're found? Is that why they call them bed bugs? Or, I mean, would you find them in a couch or something?
Anywhere where a human being sits for any length of time is where you find a bed bug. We find them all the time in computer chairs, in easy chairs, in living room sofas, in divans, love seats, lounges. You got to be careful when you sit in a lounge. You know, you're having a drink and you're sitting on a big sofa with a bunch of people. You could be getting bed bugs.
Oh, look at that. I never even thought of that.
Who would have thunk? You can't check your coat anymore. You got to spray your seat when you go to the movies with a little alcohol and water or some of the products that are on the market. You got to really watch it.
Wow. I mean, like, when you said, like, couches, I mean, the first thought I had was, like, going to a place like Starbucks where, you know, where you can hang out and they have things like that, the chairs, couches, and stuff like that, and it's not so cool anymore to do that. Then,
you
right?
can't. You can't. I would cover the seat before I sat on it. I really wouldn't want to spray their property. I don't know if I would, you know, if it would harm the colors or the fabric of the chair. But I wouldn't sit on it. I wouldn't sit on it. I would sit on a plastic chair that I could see or just take my drink out.
So it doesn't matter whether it's a plastic or what it called? I mean, in terms of the chairs, it doesn't matter the material. In other words, if is it more apt to be, like if it's a cushion?
Yes,
chair?
It's more apt to be, but what they're really looking for is cracks and crevices. And in any chair, if there's any type of an attachment, there's always going to be a crevice in between the two parts that come together, and that's where they live. They're opportunistic. If they've got a spot in a plastic chair and they've got a meal coming and going every half hour, they'll be very happy.
Goodness.
See, their bite doesn't hurt because they first give you an analgesic. They prick you with a little analgesic, and then they give you a blood thinner before they suck your blood. So they do it painlessly and quickly.
Really?
Yes. They're perfectly well made, and anyone who doesn't believe in evolution should definitely take a look at the modern day bed bug and see how they've evolved. They're bigger and they're faster, and they reproduce so quickly.
I mean, it's like this thought of these little, tiny little doctors, you know? They give you, you know, an analgesic and everything.
Yeah, tiny little doctors.
Right. This is going to make some noise. I have to put you on speakerphone. This is what happens when the battery runs down. Okay, now you're on speakerphone.
Okay.
Yeah. So, now, where do they, like, I don't say where do they come from, but... why is there so many here? Where are they coming from?
They're coming from international travel. They're coming, a lot of them came from the Middle East after Operation Desert Storm. The soldiers brought back a lot of bed bugs and didn't realize it. But really what the biggest problem has been is ignorance. People have had bed bugs, not knowing what they are. They've been treated for scabies. They've been treated for shingles. They've been treated for mysterious rashes. Even doctors don't know what a bed bug bite looks like, but they sure do now. Kids coming home from college, people flying on vacation, staying in hotels that have bed bugs and then bringing them home, people having visitors and having bed bugs in their suitcases. It's incredible how huge this thing has become because people just didn't know about it.
Do I have to worry about the seat on my plane?
Yes. You do.
Oh,
you do.
Shit.
Well, you could spray it with a little alcohol and water, or a little orange oil might help to repel them for a few hours. You can also inspect the seat with a flashlight and a mirror, make sure you don't have them. You can put something on the seat so that you're sitting, perhaps something between you and the seat, say a towel that you can afford to just leave on the plane. That's a good idea.
I have to think about it on the next my next press trip.
Well, I do suggest that you put some duct tape on your luggage, and when you arrive at your hotel, to first of all ask them if they've had any problems. Look up the bed bug registry on the internet and see if the hotel has been complained about by people.
I didn't even know there was one.
That's why I'm here.
Huh?
That's why I'm here to give you information. The bed bug registry has any building. It could be an apartment building or a hotel or a motel. People call in. I mean, there's no proof, actually. It's people just saying that there are bed bugs. But if someone says there are bed bugs in a 5-star hotel, I would tend to believe them. I would still go to the hotel, but I would inspect my room. And when I got there, I would put my possessions directly into the bathtub and then do an inspection of the bed, the sheets, the headboard, the frame, the any artwork that's behind the bed. That's often a big culprit, the night tables and the furniture. If there's a computer chair there, definitely check that. You really got to inspect the room.
Well, when you say you're checking it, I mean your eyes can see these things then.
Well, if you take a flashlight with you, you're going to be looking for adult bugs. You're going to be looking for eggs. You're going to be looking for little tiny babies. You're going to be looking for droppings. And you're going to be looking for shed skin. All these pictures are on the internet. There's if you Google bed bugs, there's so many places to find information. Bed bug registry is a good place, bedbugs.com. Just Google it and do the research, look at the pictures, and then, take a Dramamine.
What?
You're going to need one. It's nauseating. Although I like it. I like bed bugs. I think they're great.
But let's say on a plane, I guess you have to take something small. Well, if you take an alcohol, that's right. You have to use the spray.
You could buy a little what they call an atomizer, and mix it with water, and just like give it a spritz before you sit down.
Okay. I'll have to think about that.
Don't think about it. Just buy it and take it with you.
Yeah.
You may want to take some insect repellent. I'm not too sure about the statistics about bed bugs and insect repellent, but it definitely can hurt.
Insect repellent. Wouldn't that be harmful to my own health?
No, you can get skin so soft. Mosquitoes in particular hate skin so soft.
Oh, okay. Now I'm going to, really check with them. One of the warnings I heard is, people they shop in the streets, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Bringing in furniture that's been left on the street has become a very bad idea. Very bad idea. Unless you have an opportunity and a place to clean the furniture, leave it outside, you have a very big chance of bringing bed bugs into your house. And not only furniture, but if you buy clothes at a garage sale, you could pick up bed bugs, too.
Oh, that's true. Well, if you get anything at a garage sale, clothes or anything, you should...
books. They love to hide in the binding of books. Hardcover books.
Books, too. Wow. I didn't even think of books.
Yes.
So they would be called... Would they be called book bugs?
No. No, that's not their first choice of places to stay, but there are some places in Manhattan that sell books that have had problems with bed bugs because, like I said, they're opportunistic, and here's a place where people are going to sit for an hour, and they're perfect foil for a bed bug.
Wow. So, you don't think the bed bugs are in the books because they just want to read?
They're not scholarly. They're kind of like the longshoremen of the insect world. They just get out there and do the work, you know?
okay. I just, wondered, maybe they wanted to read up on a different way of going after people. Do they always go after people? Do they go after animals?
Only as a desperate resort. They don't like dog blood. They don't like cat blood, but they're desperate, and if that's all they have, they will attack pets.
Ah, so don't leave your cat home for a week.
Yes, don't leave your cat in baggage. Don't bring her on a sofa to Starbucks or anywhere else for that matter. Just be really careful. Be vigilant. Keep checking your clothes. It's good to wear light-colored clothing. When I go on inspections in people's homes, I always wear beige, khaki, or white pants because at least I could see an adult bug on me. I couldn't see an egg because they're pearly and tiny, but I could see a bug and have, in fact, seen an occasional bed bug trying to come home with me.
Aha!
But I've been lucky. I have thus avoided it since I've been in the business for the last few years.
So, yeah, what got you into this business?
Excuse me?
What made you decide on getting into this business? I'm curious.
I had to go to bug school. I'm having trouble hearing you. I had to go to bug school because I am a licensed New York State home inspector.
Okay.
So I went to study about termites, and I fell in love with pest control. Animal lover me. I think it's a great business. I think it's a really good, important service for people, and it's a good way to make a living.
So now when you go, just as a person, when you go to people's houses, just for the heck of it, not even on business, do people ask you to inspect your anyway?
All the time. I always have a flashlight with me. You know, it's like my wallet, my keys, and my flashlight.
Oh, okay. So, how do people like get a hold of you? I mean, obviously, this is going all over the world. But for those who happen to be in New York City, how would they get a hold of you?
They can go to my email at Roberta Rayburn, Roberta. Raeburn at gmail.com.
Okay, and then and it would be okay, like if people emailed you to ask you some questions, or maybe send you let's say they took a photo of what they thought might be bed bugs, and you can kind of say yes, it is, and no, it isn't.
I'll do my best.
Okay, that would be interesting. Has that ever happened? Did somebody send you a photo and ask you?
Dozens of times.
In most cases, has it been yes, it is, or no, it's a different thing?
I'm not a doctor, and I can't make a diagnosis from a picture on the internet, but there are certain things about bed bugs that are very characteristic. For example, they bite in clusters of three because sometimes they miss the capillary on the first try, and they try again. So you'll have little clusters of bites. That's one good way to tell. Also, if there's two people sleeping in a bed, that's my dog. He wanted to be on the radio. So.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he was checking for bugs, bed bugs.
No, but there are dogs that sniff for bed bugs. They're trained not to bark. They kind of do the funky chicken when they smell a bed bug. You know, they bounce up and down, and they're so happy because they're working.
Oh, okay.
But bugs bite tend to like one person over another. One person will be breathing out more carbon dioxide than the other, or they might smell better or be in a deeper sleep. But it's very common when two people are together, one gets bitten, the other doesn't. If you have mosquitoes, both people usually get bitten. That's another way to tell if you have bed bugs. But the real way to tell definitively is to do an inspection.
Okay. Now, just as like an idea of what inspection, is it the same cost for each and every inspection, or is it based on the hours, or how does that work?
Well, a bed bug inspector will sometimes charge, sometimes not. I do have a fee, and it depends on the length of time I need to spend, how much I have to travel. That I handle that on an individual basis. But the dog inspection costs a few hundred dollars, starts at a few hundred dollars, depending, again, on travel and how big the space is. That's really the best way to tell. because bed bugs will sometimes be in places where you least expect, or you can find the place where they're hiding, where oh my God, I went traveling and they were in my suitcase and I put my suitcase in the basement. And you can spray all you want upstairs, but the bed bugs are just going to come up again as soon as the suitcase is brought up, because they can live for a year without eating. I wish I could do that.
Oh, I wish I could do that, man.
I'd be so svelte.
Oh, God, there's one way to lose weight. I was talking on the radio before about I got this beer from Trader Joe's that tastes just like a Corona Light, and which it probably is. But what happens with it's like with when I'm drinking beer, I don't know how to sip a beer. I mean, I'm thirsty. And I like the coldness. So it's just easier to... What I'm finding is there's nothing that's quenching my thirst. And there was a time when a beer would actually quench my thirst. I mean, it's quenching it for the time being. And then that's it.
Getting back to bed bugs, do you have any other questions for me?
Oh, yeah, getting back to the bed bugs. So now when you're, let's say you're going to do an inspection, do you like inspect the whole house? Is it better to inspect the entire apartment as opposed to, going to just say, okay, let me go to your bed and inspect the bed?
It depends. It depends. Sometimes I can walk into a room and the room looks like the little ant line on Photoshop. They're just all over the place, in which case I don't even enter the room. But there are some times when it's very, very, very hard to find them. It's either a new infestation or they just have a lot of hiding places. You just can't really find them. But people are bitten, and you see blood smears. But you can't find the bugs because they're very, very cryptic. They're thinner than a business card when they're not fed. So they can get under baseboards, they can get into electrical outlets, they can go through the walls. It's very important for people to caulk the bottom of their apartment so that bugs don't go from one apartment to the other. There's a lot of other things you can do, but that's, you know, for the purpose of time, I'm just going to mention that. People can get in touch with me if they like, and I can be incredibly helpful.
Okay, well, hopefully they will do that, and... quite interesting. You just never know what's going to happen. You know,
That's right. I'd be happy to do Bed Bugs Part 2 at another time, Merle. It was wonderful of you to ask me. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And have a great evening. And again, Roberta Roberta Rayburn Raeburn @gmail.com. No, just
yes,
Gmail.
That's correct. Yes.
And email. Okay.
That's it. Thanks, Merle.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night. All right. So, you know, you'll be crazy as a bed bug if you're bitten and not knowing what it is. So, anyway, so I am going to, how much time do I have? I think I'm going to, I only have like 8 minutes left. I'm going to end the show a little early because I'm thirsty, I'm hungry. I don't know what happened to the bagel guy, but anyway, not sure what I'm doing next week, but, you know, I'll surprise everybody. So, have a nice day, evening, or whatever time it is, where you are, and, don't schwitz.